三千九百十七三万两千九百多个名字，三万千九百十三千九百三千九百十七三万两千九百多个名字，那个修仙界的三万千九百十七三千九百。三千九百十七三万两千九百多担米家，大吉修仙界的三万千九百十七三千九
If you have a question, just ask one. Yeah.
Ken Rinpoche.In each of the 10 grounds, there is a certain perfection, like perfection of generosity, ethics, patience, and so forth. And it's stated that there are very special kind of qualities and practices associated with each of the perfection. Are we going through that later on? I mean, in the lessons to come, on what are some of the special qualities and practices for the bodhisattvas?For all those perfection, and also I want to know why there's a certain perfection in each ground. Are they not the bodhisattvas when they are in the post meditative equipoise? Are they not practicing all these perfections? I mean, why they compartmentalize in each ground, or you just focus on that for that ground?And at the same time, they're still doing all the other practices as well, the perfections as well.
지간다 사주 내가봐 다 보시냐면 내가 독수리 송구열에 나왔다 뒤만 십소부터 했단다 말에 나왔다 집에냐면 가리 다 뒤가리인 세지자마다 남림 다 뒤고 침묵하기 야스기 좁아라 랍소가라 용하시래 나와 어디가로다 집에냐면 다 뒤가로 떼서 내다 거래 빠진 쪽이 내가 다 뒤가로 시야시
So the discussion on the perfections will come later on when we look at the deeds of the bodhisattvas as part of the path of the person of great capacity in the Lam Rim literature.
Okay. 이나양 갑자기 가르쳐서는 사탕의 내값수 다 벌써 죽이 나오네 다 오늘 진배냐면 신담해라시 토빙하시 진발로 토발 낭신이냐면 시야로 출림라 윤구야 말해 출림이냐면 유아대 이나양 다 출림이냐면 시일하버도 되는 200값수 용하시 200값도 여반 낭신기 다 잡아도 파버도 당벽값도 윤구야 말해 다 돈다 벌어도 지금 둘러 높높게 하는 이나야 거다. 냐면 칠라고 수도가다. 산입에 내가 와서 시한다면 돼. 수도이 냐면 잡아도 봐봐지 용하지. 다 독점이다. 독점 줘야 돼. 사투바 통일도 가라. 다 시하라고 파지. 냐면 칠라고 해서 통일 것이 시한다면 돼. 어떻게 되게 시한다? 잡아서 하시래. 저도 매받은 말해. 뭐든 이와래.
So there is a perfection associated with each of the 10 grounds, but it is not that the bodhisattvas only practice generosity on the first ground, for example, and not do the rest. So the bodhisattvas on the first ground practice all the perfections. It is just that their practice of the perfection of generosity on the first ground becomes very developed, yeah, very special, yeah. So the bodhisattva's practice of the perfection of generosity exceeds their practice of ethics, let's say, while on the first ground. Then when the bodhisattva moves on to the second ground, they achieve the perfection of ethics. So on the second ground, their practice of ethics becomes very much developed, yeah, such that this practice of ethics was not as developed, you know, when he was on the first ground. While he was on the first ground, he did, the bodhisattvas do the practice of ethics, but it's on the second ground that their practice of ethics becomes very developed, you know, and so forth. Yeah. So then when the bodhisattva reaches the sixth ground, of course, then he's on the sixth ground, his practice of wisdom becomes a very, very developed and very special, yeah. You get the idea?
This one is that Satuba Menchella, Tatanda, Satuba Matan, Tango Nibasumashiba, maybe Nakaba Tombanya, never shall the law you are. Nay, Tombanya, never Kijikijil, Jukan Chituyama Kijikijil, Jupa, the Down Chituyama, Kijil, never said Down Chituyama. Shall I cup of Shabby? But to bed, Nemshay, Tongu, Satuba Tongala, Tombanya, Kijil, Jute, Kijil, Down to Eli, and it's
Let's take the Bodhisattva superior's practice of the perfection of wisdom. So on the first to the sixth round, the Bodhisattvas enter into meditative equipoise, isn't it? Where they meditate on emptiness. And of course in the meditative equipoise, they realize emptiness directly. But while on the first to the fifth ground, the bodhisattvas do not have that ability to enter into meditative equipoise on emptiness and then arise from the meditative equipoise, you know, in an instant, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like in an instant, it's like in, let's say in one finger snap, on the first to fifth ground, the bodhisattvas cannot, enter at will into meditative repose and arise from the meditative repose, in such a short time as in the figure snap, they cannot in and out, in and out. But on the sixth ground, the bodhisattvas achieve this special practice of wisdom, the perfection of wisdom, such that in an instant, they can enter in an instant into meditative repose, and in another instant, they can arise from the meditative repose. Yeah. So, So this is the explanation of how the bodhisattvas practice of wisdom is extremely developed or special while when they have achieved the sixth ground. So on the sixth ground, in an instant they can enter into meditative voice, and in another instant they can rise from their meditative voice. Yeah. For them it is easy, whereas before the achievement of the sixth ground, the bodhisattvas find it difficult. Yeah. So basically, the reason why there's a perfection that is related to each of the 10 grounds is just to show that on the respective grounds, the bodhisattva gains a very special kind of practice related to the perfection of that ground. Yeah. Okay, it's not that, for example, it's not that that prior to the first ground, or the bodhisattvas aren't practicing generosity. You know.
Okay.
So as we have seen in the previous moral view, all the four Buddhist tenets hold the view of selflessness to be something something very, very important to understand and to realize. Yeah. And all four Buddhist tenets are all the same in asserting that one must actualize or realize selflessness. So why do all the four Buddhist tenets hold the view of selflessness to be very important? Because all four Buddhist tenets propound or assert that the root of samsara, the root of all our problems, lies in our ignorance, isn't it? Although the four Buddhist tenets do differ as to what exactly this ignorance is, but they all assert that it is ignorance that is the root of cyclic existence. So all four Buddhist tenets assert that it is ignorance that is the root of all undesirable, all the undesirable things, all the undesirable outcomes, all the suffering, and all the four Buddhist tenets assert that the sole antidote to this ignorance is to realize selflessness. Yeah, it is only the wisdom realizing selflessness that can destroy our apprehension of a self, which is the root of all the problems. So therefore, realizing selflessness is extremely important. So, like what I mentioned in the previous lesson, so when we come to understand for ourselves in the heart that the source of all the problems, the root of all the problems lies in our ego grasping, apprehension of itself, and on that basis, then if we then come to understand that the sole antidote, the only solution to this is the wisdom realizing selflessness, and then when you come to understand that it is only our founder Buddha Shakyamuni who has revealed such a path, such a path of selflessness. And when you put all this together, when you see for yourself, only then you will develop this very unparalleled faith in the Buddha. So it's only on the basis of you put all this together, and only on the basis of this, then you can see how different our founder Buddha is. How he is in this class of his own, completely in the different league compared to the founders of other religious or philosophical systems. Only then you will be able to really differentiate between the Buddha and the founders of other traditions, the founders of other philosophical views or religions. So if you look around at all the philosophies or the religious beliefs that are found in this world, it is only in Buddhism that the view of selflessness is mentioned, is taught. There's no other religious tradition that talks about no self.
Yeah. 삼바지 아니 아니 랑기 치바 랑기 록바 셴아 떠바 딘데 차바이나 시유지 바인쇼로 융거래 했으니 다 산지 순회 준세 토사지 딘데 토대 신사래 로고 시유지 자신부 차기회상 다 매듭니로 했다 내 차기회상 다 딘데라 토섬 차바 치바 록바 다 셴아 칭인 차바이나 셴다 매듭 했다 손무 사이지 숨도 이제 딘데 있어래
So this is basically this is the reason why the Buddha has talked about all the benefits, you know, of even reading sutra or reading treatise, you know, that has selflessness as a subject matter, isn't it? The Buddha talked about the great benefits, or even just listening, or reading, or writing, or you know, explaining this to others, yeah. So all the benefits, you know, if you think about why are there such great benefits, it boils down to what we've just discussed, isn't it? What we've just mentioned, yeah? Because the view of selflessness is the only antidote to the root of all our problems, our apprehension of a self. Yeah?
Sumjavena, Sumana, she paints you Sumdua. And she ran the Lopale, Lopa in Sonom shoe size, Tile, that ran the Toba in Sonom shoe size, Toba Tile, that Turbe turned some of them, Tile Sonom Chesai. And in Sunday turning a posing is she gets the Gomji Javina, when it's Pomayit and Gomji Javina, Shenda made a Sonom size. But today that.
And there are these different quotations from the sutras that talk about the benefits of listening to the teachings on emptiness, isn't it? So you know, there's so much merit that one accumulates just by listening to the teachings. And then, of course, on top of that, you know, if one reflects on the meaning of what one has heard, you know, then the merit that one accumulates, you know, is even greater than just listening to the teachings. And of course, on top of that, you know, if one you know is able to meditate, you know, or familiarize oneself with what one has already ascertained from reflection, then of course, then the merit. You know, that is derived from meditation on emptiness is, of course, even much greater. Yeah.
Oh, toh sini, cheza ta namju tere ta pawale suma tina pawale ta suma tere sanam chungo chue tere tezum sawa yangmi jus tezum sawa zamji jang siborobu cheba jus. Oh, toh sini ta ko tongmani tena ta tunju ki tezum
Therefore, the great Indian master Ayadeva said that at the time of small merit, for those who have small merit, so with regards to this Dharma here, teaching on selflessness, one does not generate a profound doubt. However, even if one merely generates a doubt, that doubt will tear apart a cyclic existence. So the doubt that this great Indian master Ayadeva was referring to is the doubt that tends towards the fact. Remember from the previous module, different kinds of doubt, the doubt tending towards the factual. So put aside, we're not even talking about having an understanding or realization of emptiness, but even just to have you start to entertain doubts about emptiness, you start to wonder, and then but your doubts are tending towards the factual, even that can start shake your entire samsara.
What in the song? That today in song, that to die in Casorita. Today, Anishi, that Pomani Tempe, that song of La Tavache, Samache, Gala,
So while there are all these benefits to be gained from learning and reflecting on selflessness, and while it is important to do this, one must remember to do all these with the correct motivation. Yeah. So the having the right motivation is of extremely important. The Buddha's, if you think about it, the main reason why the Buddha gave all these different kinds of teachings, such as the teachings on emptiness and so forth, is to help us sentient beings achieve liberation from samsara and to achieve full enlightenment. Yeah. So, in order to achieve liberation from samsara and to achieve full enlightenment, we have to destroy our ignorance with the view of selflessness. Yeah. So, and because without the view of selflessness, without understanding and realizing selflessness, there's no way to destroy the afflictions. So these are all methods for us to tame our afflictions and to destroy the afflictions. Yeah. So therefore, we should keep in mind that, that we should keep this as the motivation. Yeah. Whenever we have an opportunity to learn or even just to read the Heart Sutra, the Heart for the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, for example. So the motivation should be to gain the understanding and the realization of selflessness, so that one can destroy the afflictions, and in so doing, then achieve liberation from samsara and full enlightenment. Yeah. So it's extremely important to have pure motivation and a very extensive big mind, when we're studying such things. Yeah. The Buddha taught selflessness in order to give us the antidote, in order to destroy our ignorance and apprehension of ourselves, so that we can gain liberation from suffering, so that we can gain full enlightenment. So therefore, because that was the Buddha's main purpose. So likewise, when we learn, when we educate ourselves about emptiness, when we learn, study, reflect, listen, and so forth, it's extremely important to do so with the correct motivation. Yeah. So motivation has to be, wanting to destroy our afflictions, with the view of selflessness, so that we can achieve liberation from samsara and full enlightenment. Yeah. So it's important to have the correct motivation and to have the big goal. Because if you think small, your motivation is small, your mind is small, your perspective is small, the result would be likewise small.
어떻게 다시라니 뭐 담보 제 가서는 다 밖에 야게기 돌아 시라니 뭐 체면 신설에 야가르치도 바가와티스다 반자 바람이다 시다야스다 독신다 야게도다 다시 체면에서
The actual sutra starts with the stating the title or the name of the sutra, and that is the title of the sutra is stated actually in Sanskrit. Yeah, it's called the Bhagavati Prashna Paramita Hridaya. Bhagavati Prashna Paramita Hridaya.
What does it mean? That on that, so it is. Tambuta, Matuta, Penas Sanskrit Kela, Toxinata, Tinjak Mola, that Jagarki Megavati.
So in many of the great treatises and in the Tibetan translations of the sutras and so forth, usually the title of the text is first stated in Sanskrit. Yeah. Yeah, there are different reasons for doing so. One of the reasons for doing so is that because, you know, the Buddha taught, for example, this, the Heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, the Buddha taught it and spoke it in the Sanskrit language. Yeah. So by expressing the title of the sutra in Sanskrit, you know, it's kind of like expressing, you know, the preciousness of this particular language, the Sanskrit. Yeah. So in short, by expressing the title in Sanskrit, it places an imprint in the reader's mind to be able to know Sanskrit in the future, and it is also a cause, you know, for receiving blessings in the mind. So the title in Sanskrit is Bhagavati Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Bhagavati when translated into Tibetan is Chomden De, and in that in English is quite a cumbersome. Chomden De, the destroyer, fully endowed, and gone beyond. This is what. So Bhagavati is the, if you think of it in terms of gender, Bhagavan is male, Bhagavati is female, generally speaking. Yeah, so Bhagavati, but anyway, in Chomden De, the fully endowed, the destroyer fully endowed, gone beyond. Yeah. Then Prajna is wisdom, Paramita is perfection, Hridaya is the essence or the heart. Essence, yeah, essence.
What did they say? That, 다톤다 다들 이번 시에 다가 소리 다 보기 다 변은 시진스는 저시 개비 누구나 변은 마 시진스가 바로도 침바 세디라 다 바로도 침바 세디라 고 다 침바 친이 남나 주바이나 고 그와 다 산지 바 가라서 가라 바로 세디 코에 가서 바로 다 가라서 나 보기 산지 살아 샤지 산쟁이 싸다 침발 쳐봐 쓰다 이리와 침발 치네 뒤 온도 치네 발진세네 되시게 하지 그래 아니 바로도 침발하시면 침차봐 다 산쟁이 싸다 침차봐 치네 발진세 되시게 하던지 아니 믿어 지용돼 고안된다 그러봐
So perfection paramita is perfection yeah. 바로도 what it means is literally gone to the other side. One can look at, you know, this. One can look at gone to the other side, you know, from the perspective of the act of going, or from the perspective of the act of having arrived on the other side. You know. Okay, from the perspective, if you look at gone to the other side from the perspective of the act of going, this is from the perspective of a learner, someone who is traveling towards full enlightenment. But if you look at gone to the other side from the perspective of having arrived, that means you're talking about someone who is a Buddha.
Semjin sana parjin yada me sene da tinde da konzo da shedang da me da yugare kashi semjin sana parjin yo mare je sana semjin sana parjin yo re sinda bena re rangi me luk tin zola pejen da re ta chim da tok sin da shedang yung de shi ro da ta ta je lu la sene kaza te ba na shin re ta lo lo na parjin yo da chue shi te da sa ta mo ne kaza ji be parjin ni be parjin kaza la ku do wa tok sin da chim ba chi ondo che ba na
Okay, so of course there's a discussion about whether on the Buddha ground perfection exists or not. Yeah. So there are some who say it does exist. So there is a discussion as to whether the perfections exist or not, yeah. So from the perspective of the Middle Way Consequence School, conclusion is that you could say that the perfections exist while perfection exists in the learner's paths. So if you look at the presentation of the passing grounds, yeah, the perfections are explained starting from the first ground. Yeah. So there's an explanation of the perfection of generosity, for example, on the first ground and so forth, yeah. There are different etymological divisions of perfection of wisdom. So there's natural perfection of wisdom, the textual perfection of wisdom, the path perfection of wisdom, and the resultant perfection of wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have the natural perfection of wisdom, the textual perfection of wisdom, the path perfection of wisdom, and the resultant perfection of wisdom. Yeah. So the natural perfection of wisdom is the emptiness of the mind. Emptiness of the mind. You may have heard of the terms of natural nirvana. You may have also heard of the Tathagata Garbha or the Tathagata essence. Yeah. So these are basically talking about the emptiness of the mind. But the natural perfection of wisdom, which is the emptiness, here referring to the emptiness of the mind, this is not an actual perfection of wisdom. It's just a nominal division of the perfection of wisdom, or it's an etymological division of the perfection of wisdom. Yeah. So the natural perfection of wisdom, while it is an etymological division or nominal division of the perfection of wisdom, it is not an actual perfection of wisdom. The texts that have emptiness as the main subject matter are called the textual perfection of wisdom. The exalted knowers in the continuum of Bodhisattva superiors are the path perfection of wisdom. And the path perfection of wisdom is an actual perfection of wisdom. And the resultant perfection of wisdom is the omniscient wisdom.
That
So I guess the very title of this sutra, the Heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, was basically derived from its main subject matter. So it is called the Heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra because its main subject matter is on emptiness and the wisdom realizing emptiness, isn't it? And I did mention before that of all the types of wisdom, the wisdom realizing emptiness is the supreme. Thus did I hear at one time the Bhagavan was dwelling a mass of Valchas mountain in Rajagriha together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. Yeah. So this is the prologue. Okay. The prologue, you know, prologue, like what you see in the novels, you always have a prologue. You know? You could say introduction, right? You could say, but I think a prologue is better. Yeah. Okay. And in this section of the prologue, there are four perfect things. What are the four? Perfect time, the perfect teacher, the perfect place, and the perfect entourage.
Oh, to say that Tinane, Tambo Anishita. Pusum topa, said he, dandy, decayed the topa tushina, said he. That, two pusum topa, then, dinsa.
Okay, so you have perfect time, perfect teacher, perfect place, and perfect entourage. Perhaps perfect congregation, maybe, makes more sense. Entourage is like, you know, a bunch of people walking around. Congregation, you know, you could say here. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the first one, the perfect time. This is indicated by the sentence, the first sentence of the sutra. Thus did I hear at one time.
Dagi toba says that on the team wish that on the disdogana tonda Sangele and Jumdendel Dagi most toba says Unitaba Maris that the chicken with Dagi too says and in the shade of my shake tobale Dagi most too says that on the Nobody to him wish.
So the sentence "Thus did I hear one time" indicates that this sutra was heard directly from Buddha Shakyamuni himself and not through a third party.
That 다 퇴직 세디 다 사직 좀 타봐 세딘데라 고구여서래다 뭐 퇴직 사직 좀 타봐래 양양 안 타봐를 까와래서 다 돈다 퇴직 세디다 시진도 세디 타봐를 까와서 어딘데 있다 순회시도 퇴직 세디래 사직 타봐래 세시다
Okay, so test did I hear at one time? So I hear, did I hear means that the teaching was heard directly from Buddha himself and not from a third party. And at one time shows that this teaching was only heard once. And this indicates or shows how rare it is, you know, to be able to hear the teachings on the perfection of wisdom.
What did he say? Tuchik na sta. Ta tuchik na sere ko alen ta ti tuchik na ani chik lenchik zam lenchik zam ani jom le de sumba zam ji ani rang le sumba rang nam san jin to ba chi cha ya zu ga na ta ton dang ni ta te do kan sa di ta ton da sha ra kya ba chi ba chi de ji
So at one time, you know, can mean just hearing, just having heard this teaching once. And this shows the rarity of such a teaching. But it could also, it can also mean that the listener is of very sharp wisdom, because just by hearing it once, he remembered everything.
That chuan is a dog, it turns to that. Dog is suited, isn't it? And tear coupled.
So the sutra says, it starts with, thus did I hear. But who exactly was the listener? It gets a bit complicated here. if you think about, you know, about who exactly is this I, or who's the person, you know?
Any idea? Huh? Who? Yes. Million of disciples, so must be one here, not everyone is in.
The I here would probably be referring to the person who compiled the teachings. Historically, after the Buddha passed away into Parinirvana, historically, it is said that the three councils were convened. Three councils were convened to compile the Buddha's teachings. To compile means to write it down from memory, to write it down. But when we talk about the compilation of the Buddha's teachings, there was the compilation of the Hinayana teachings, but then you also have to talk about the compilation of the Mahayana teachings. So this gets a bit complicated, yeah.
Oh, tinde sum to tinde in sang ani kasana kasore ta tonda ta teme pena ta zo yong da sina ta ka de su teme to la yong da sina ta kasore na yong su ta de na ka de che ti ta yong da ye de ti ne re pena chum de de nyang le de che ta ti lo jama ti la ta nyang ti ne nyang le ti lo jama ti la ani che kasore
What is commonly known now in the world, about the compilation of the Buddhist teachings, is it was an event compiling the Hinayana teachings, yeah. Or what is commonly or well known as the Pali Canon. Yeah. So the first compilation or the first compilation was done 1 year after the Buddha passed away in the Parinirvana, and the King Magadha acted as a sponsor, and many arhats came together to compile the teachings. The primary ones being Ananda, and the other two I can't remember what are their names in Sanskrit. Yeah, I got suddenly a mental block. Ananda and Usuma. Kashyapa, busy, probably. Yeah.
Never call.
So the Ananda was primarily responsible for compiling the sutra basket. And then Kashyapa was primarily responsible for compiling the how do you say it in English? Sutra Pitaka Abhidhamma Pitaka, isn't it? The knowledge. I think it's, you know, the three scriptural collections, yeah. So Kashyapa was responsible for the knowledge, and then you have Nyawako in Tibetan. He was primarily responsible for compiling the Vinaya Pitaka. So that was the first, you could say the first council, yeah. First compilation of the Buddhist teaching. The second compilation happened about 100 years after the Buddha passed away into Parinirvana, yeah. So yeah, the sponsor, the main sponsor for the second compilation of Buddhist teachings was King Ashoka. Then what about the compilation of the Mahayana teachings? When was it done and who did it, you know? So according to the explanation that is available, the compilation of the Mahayana teachings took place 1 week after the Buddha's Parinirvana, and the main compilers were Manjushri, Vajrapani, and Maitreya.
Oh, did you see that? Tenanata, T. Penata, Jam, the Jambiangi, Mumbetena. That did the Kaduce Kabla and Changju Sample, Pumta's Jews, Jushi, Kaduce, or Tisumarata, Mumbetena, Jamangi.
So you said that and there was an assembly of 1 million bodhisattvas when the Mahayana teachings were compiled, yeah. And Manjushri compiled the Abhidhamma Pitaka. And Maitreya compiled the Vinaya Pitaka, and Vajrapani compiled the Sutra Pitaka, because the Mahayana ones, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So there are these three scriptural collections, isn't it? So then you have the three Mahayana scriptural collections. So, where does the heart of the perfection of wisdom sutra go? Which pitaka? So what if I say to you that it is not the Sutra Pitaka, it is the Knowledge Pitaka? How you say it in Sanskrit? It's not Abhidhamma. For the time being, Abhidhamma Pitaka. Yeah.
Abhidhamma.
So what if I... It is follows that it is not the Sutra Pitaka because it is belongs to the Abhidhamma Pitaka. What if I say this to you?
You will say no, yeah, of course you have to say no. Because you already said that one, now you ask, I said that one, you have to say not that one, you have to say no. And what do you say? No? Are you saying both of them?
Everything is a sutra. Vinaya is also a sutra, no?
Anybody have idea what the Nusungan and Khanis are speaking?
Which scriptural collection does the heart of the perfection of wisdom fall into?
Huh? Who knows?
You're very sure that it is not the Vinaya Pitaka, is it? So, something to think about. How are the three scriptural collections differentiated? I think I mentioned this quite a while ago. Yeah. So the main subject matter of the Vinaya Pitaka is the higher training in ethics. The main subject matter of the Sutra Pitaka is the higher training in concentration. And the main subject matter of the Abhidhamma Pitaka is the higher training in wisdom. So the ancient translators of the past devised a system, in order to help the reader identify which scriptural collection does the particular text fall into. Yeah. And the distinction is made based on the object of homage. Yeah. So if a text belongs to the Vinaya Pitaka, at the beginning of the translation of that particular text, you would find the homage being paid to the omniscient one. I prostrate to the omniscient one. If the text that was translated belonged to the Sutra Pitaka, the homage will be paid to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So at the beginning of the text, you will see this sentence, I prostrate to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Well, if the text belonged to the Abhidhamma Pitaka, then at the beginning, homage is paid to Manjugosha. I prostrate to Manjugosha. Yeah. So, who exactly was the compiler of the Heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra? Well, if you could settle which scriptural collection does this sutra fall into, then you'll be able to figure out who the compiler was. Yeah. So, this particular sutra could only fall into either the Sutra Pitaka or the Abhidhamma Pitaka. Yeah. And based on that, then the compiler would either be Manjushri or Vajrapani. Yeah. So, we can't say for sure, but the Heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra could belong to the Sutra Pitaka. And in that case, the compiler of the sutra would be Vajrapani. Okay, so test the die here at one time shows the perfect time. Then the sutra continues with the Bhagavan. So Bhagavan here is the perfect teacher.
어떻게 다던다 안에 단다 답변에 지나라 좀 된데 신대네 지금 대시 조조 다 좀 봐 세디기 다던다 님은 봐 시지지 봐 안에 지금 차정다 좀 봐 세지 관심 봐
Okay, the translation of the Tibetan translation of Bhagavan is Jom Den De, Jom Den De, which is quite a mouthful in English. Okay, so Jom means to destroy. As a noun, then it's a destroyer. Why? Because the Buddha is someone who has destroyed the afflictions and the knowledge obscurations.
어딘데스니 다 독스니 다 디손도 다 댄세디 다 레베인데 탐제 담바 다 탄다이다 독레 다 미침베 초탐도 쪼바스 다 레베인데 탐제 담바스 어딘데기 다 과대해서
좀 오케이 this jom destroyer then mean and then literally means to possess so the Buddha is someone who has destroyed all the unfavorable opposing factors. Which in this case is the afflictions together with the knowledge obscurations. And the Buddha is endowed, possesses all the good qualities. Okay, so that is den in Tibetan, den, to possess. Okay, so the Tibetan translation of the word Bhagavan is Jom Den De, but in the De mean literally means to pass beyond or to go beyond, but that is not in the original Sanskrit word Bhagavan. It is not there literally, but the meaning is implied. So therefore, in the translation. In the Tibetan translation, De is there. De means to pass beyond, to go beyond. And to go beyond means that the Buddha is beyond the extremes of samsara and nirvana. So the Buddha has gone beyond. It's beyond both the extremes of samsara and the extremes of nirvana. And they can also means that the Buddha is superior to ordinary or to worldly gods.
What does it mean? Tinema, that nepism soba said that Jabo comes, Jabo Pumbotila, so toxin tigita, nepism soba de ordination.
Okay, so that's the Bhagavan refers to the perfect teacher, okay? Then the Bhagavan was dwelling on Mass of Vouchers Mountain. So the Mass of Vouchers Mountains here is the perfect place.
So
the perfect place here is the Mass of Vouchers Mountain. Yeah. There are many interpretations as to what exactly does the mass of vouchers mean. Okay? One interpretation, one reading of it is that it is a place where you know, many vouchers, you know, come and hang around. It's a hangout place of the vouchers, so you know. Another reading or interpretation is that the shape of the mountain, you know, resembles the shape of a voucher's head. And in some texts, it's mentioned that during the time when the Buddha was talking or speaking or teaching this sutra, on many bodhisattvas, came to listen to the teachings in the aspect on the form of vouchers. But it doesn't really matter because this is a non-essential point.
Yelong kijin des chambo dan sumi jin tapjo to shukde se ta tigi ta korpusum sopa se di ta.
Okay, so Bhagavan was dwelling a mass of vouchers mountain in Rajagriha, together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. So together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas shows the perfect entourage, or rather, I think perfect congregation, yeah, maybe even. So a great community of monks, the monks here refer to the hearer four destroyers and also the solitary realizer four destroyers, the arhats basically. And the bodhisattvas, the great community of bodhisattvas, are the bodhisattvas. Yeah. So this means that the disciples, or the vessels, or the disciples, are for this heart of the perfection of wisdom sutra, are the hearers, solitary realizers, and the bodhisattvas. Yeah. So this is the prologue, yeah, which indicates, you know, the time when this sutra was taught, to indicate who was the teacher, to indicate the place where this teaching was given, and to indicate who was present during the teaching.
Oh, tuksine. Ta tine an tomata. Ta tonda tijala ta tonda kare na ta. Tije somden samano shesho shuki ting shuki.
Okay, so at that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Okay, here there's a discussion of blessing. Who was conferring the blessing? And who received the blessing? And how was the blessing given? Yeah, history. So the blessing was given by Buddha while he was in meditative equipoise. So the Buddha conferred blessings while he remained in meditative repose, while he remained in concentration. What kind of concentration was the Buddha absorbed or remained in? It is called the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. So, what was the object, you know, that the Buddha was focusing on while he was in this meditative repose? The object was emptiness. And what was the mind that was placed in this meditative repose focusing on emptiness? It is a concentration called profound perception. So essentially, what this means is that the Buddha was in meditative repose, focusing on emptiness. So the Buddha conferred blessings while in meditative repose, in remaining in this concentration called profound perception. Yeah? And who? So Buddha conferred blessings while in that state. So who was blessed? Who was the person that was blessed by the Buddha in yeah? So the person was Shariputra. So the person the Buddha blessed was Shariputra, What did his blessing do to Shariputra? This will come later in the sutra. Basically, the blessing caused Shariputra to engage in this question and answer session with Avalokiteshvaraya. Okay. So anyway, Shariputra was blessed by the Buddha to start, you know, that whole question and answer thing. Yeah. And how was this done? How was the blessing done? You know? Also at that time, the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Aya Avalokiteshvara, looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent existence. This is said to be the cause of the question that Shariputra will ask later.
어떻습니까? 따뜻하다니 다 좀 된데 아니지 땡 삼만원 세절 땡에서 냠벌샤와 나시 아니지 다 제대로 세장 안 되던 동안 냠벌샤와지 어떤데 샤인도 가라 아니 다 쉐리프기다 아니지 제대로 세라다 주와 쉬어 진사네 로봐 따뜻 좀 된데 냠벌샤와 나시 쉐 아니 아 제대로 세게 냠벌샤 디샤도 가라 아니지 다 쉐리프기다 제대로 세게 주와 뒤에 어디 인사네.
So while Buddha was in meditative equipoise, Avalokiteshvara was also in meditative equipoise, where he looked upon, you know, the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom, and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent existence. Yeah. So, yeah. And after this, then Shariputra will begin his questions. Yeah.
What was it? Dinamata, that on the titty that chivet, young saddle, she do, she double. That on the tinsat, on the chick is all tinsat, double, chua, young sack, yen, young head, she. That to die in that. Jerry sick there, dogs, never shot them hands up, that tea, gain chase, that sheriff, chua, chase, you wish. Teacher, what is it?
So,
look at the tinsat, today, gain chase, that what teacher, sheriff, chua.
Basically, anyway, the section of the sutra which we just read out, you know, basically shows, you know, the condition for Shariputra's questions. Yeah. Okay, so the condition here is the Avalokiteshvara in a meditative equipoise. Yeah. So that was the condition, yeah, for Shariputra to begin asking his questions.
So I think mainly Genesis is meditating, so Shariputra is surprised. What are you meditating there? Must be. So not moving, concentration, the Shariputra's interest. What are you doing there? What kind of meditation you do? Maybe like that.
It's kind of weird, you see around and everybody's not saying anything. You know. Naturally, you, eh.
Curious. When you don't meditate, then they'll ask questions. When you just sit down, nobody asks what you're doing.
Okay, next comes the question from Shariputra. Then, through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Ayyavalokiteshvara. How should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity or the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that, Through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Avalokiteshvara. This shows that Shariputra did not ask the question merely through his own volition, not from his own side, but rather he asked the question due to the power of Buddha. Through the power of Buddha, he asked that question to Avalokiteshvara. Yeah. So at this particular point of the sutra, it says, how should any son of the lineage train? It doesn't say how should any son of the lineage and daughter of the lineage. Yeah. At this point of in this particular point of the sutra, is it in the Chinese version? No, of course. I mean, in most translation of the current or the Chinese versions, they don't even have the prologue. No? Yeah, it doesn't even start with the prologue. Yeah. The whole prologue is missing. Yeah. Starts with what? I can't remember. What's it? What's the first few words? Huh? Oh, 观自在菩萨. Yeah, which happens to be the correct translation of Avalokiteshvara. A lot of people say Guan Yin, right? That's actually wrong, completely wrong. But it has been so commonly used, and it became, an error has become truth. But actually, it's wrong. It's Guan Zi Zai. Guan Zi Zai is correct. Yeah. Anyway, that's about it for today. So this is like the the question of Shariputraya. So the answer will come in a little. Okay. We have time for one question.
Rinpoche, since the entourage in itself is a noble entourage, in the sense that they are all
they've all realized emptiness already. why bother to listen again, right?
I mean, it's all the four perfect things coming together, right? My point is, if this is the case, then why was there a need to what is the purpose of emphasizing this part, that the question in which Shariputra is raising is not from his own volition, and rather it is through the blessings of the Buddha. There must be a reason for doing this.
Why can't he just ask the question from his own side, right?
Yes.
You mean without the blessing of the Buddha, he's just going to keep quiet,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it is a noble entourage in the first place.
I don't know what happened to
Rinpoche, I was asked the question whether I'm asking for my own volition or is it from the blessings of the teacher.
It's the same as saying that the Buddha takes all the credit for all the good things, and anything that is wrong is our fault, right? Something like that, it seems like.
Tati kande ina se nye yakuda mishin de ina ya ta shiri pu se na zo nyendu tsu sung se de ji chabi ya le raba nyendu tsu raba ta tanda nyendu ki ta nyendu ki kang se namba ten che oto tanda tinda ji chabi ya le tanda di ani ji tanda chua zo che di chanju ki sem di lam nyam nyam giri ba che si te zang ta rang to ki ta chima tanga
Well, I don't know exactly, but Shariputra was abiding in the aspect of a hearer. So he pretended, basically. He's abiding in the aspect of a hearer, right? So, but you know, the question that was asked, that he asked, was a question about the Bodhisattva's practice, isn't it? How did the Bodhisattvas train? I mean, in the perfection of wisdom, isn't it? Starting from the power of accumulation and so forth, isn't it? But because he was abiding in the aspect of a hearer, he couldn't possibly have asked the question through his own volition, because he was asking a question about the Bodhisattva path. So perhaps do you, perhaps this could be the reason, yeah, why he asked the question through the power of Buddha?
I don't know. I'm just... maybe like that.
Then we cannot ask any questions at all, no? So, yeah, I don't know exactly, but you know, I speculate that it could be due to the Shariputra not being able to ask a question but pertaining to the practice of the perfection of wisdom on the Bodhisattva path, because he was a hearer. Yeah, so I can't say. I really don't know. Why couldn't he ask the question through his own volition? Why did he have to be blessed? Oh dear.
I'm just saying he's Buddha's pet, so that's why Buddha needs to go. That's the Hapchin answer. Huh? I am good. Have more question, answer. So I don't know what's the right answer, so I can find out more. That's good. Yeah. Okay.
So we finish up with the usual prayers. So ji pig ji jing me do tam ri ra li jin de de gen ba song ge jin de me de bu wa yi ju ge nan da xin la che ba shu yi dang gu ru ra nam ni ya da ya mi ge wa di ni de da la ma song ge ju ge Hallelujah.